question. As time permits on the 24th, before we end the service, I will pass out a spiritual gift test and allow you to take that and help you learn, hopefully, and discern what is the gift that the Holy Spirit brought into you the moment you turned to Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, are you ready for this journey? I challenged you last week to bring your Bibles with you. That challenge goes on. I encourage you to carry your Bible, use your Bible. So take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to focus on verses 4 through 8 in a moment, but I want to start reading before that. Actually, let's start at the beginning of Romans chapter 12. We looked at these first two verses a while ago, where Paul begins here, "I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Verse 3, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Verses 4 through 8. "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individual members of another." Before I go any further, just to bring clarity to what Paul is getting at here, he's relating our physical bodies to the body of Jesus Christ. Our physical bodies, as Paul is saying, for just as we have many members, but we are one body, I am one body with many different functioning members of my body, my hands, my fingers, my toes, my knees, my hips, and so forth. You know what I'm talking about. Some of the members of my physical body are internal, and you don't see them. And sometimes we forget that we have functioning members of our body inside. We usually start being more mindful of them when they stop cooperating or working the way God designed them to work. However, we are a body. We've been created in Christ Jesus. God formed us in the likeness of Himself, and He placed these members within us. But we are one complete body. So Paul is explaining to us here that just like you are one body with many different members functioning, doing their own part, so is the body of Christ, the family of God, the church universal, everyone that has come by faith to Christ, they are part of the body of Christ. Individual members of one another. We all individually make up the body of Christ. Crossroads Alliance Church and the members that worship here, those that attend here, are just one eensy little speck in the body of Christ. We're all part of one body. So now Paul goes on speaking here in verse 6. "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them. Let us use them accordingly." Once again, let me take a time out here. The way to think about this is the same way as our human body functions. Each member of our human body, each part of our human body has its function and its gift to use as God's designed it and created it to be used. In the body of Christ, we have been given different gifts. According to the grace that God has given to us, and we are to use them, we are to exercise them. When you hear the word exercise, some of you jump up and down and say, "Yay, I can't wait." Nobody? We are to use our spiritual gifts, we are to exercise them. What happens when we exercise these bodies? We become stronger. So, I've shared with you a few weeks ago, I have a tendency of being a bit claustrophobic. I don't care for elevators. But as I'm getting older, and as I realize that every time I go see someone in the hospital, they are always on the top floor, it's killing me. But I still have this thing I wrestle through. Are there other people I can talk to in the elevator, or am I going to get more exercise today to get up to the top floor? This past weekend, with Brenda being in the hospital, both our boys were in on Friday. And we went to lunch, and Nathan said, "Dad, I've never been to the cathedral." And those of you who are familiar with St. Paul, behind United Hospital are a flight of ungodly amount of steps that go all the way up, and then you can walk over to the cathedral. So Casey says, "Oh, let's go do those steps, Dad." Brenda's been on the sixth floor. I've been climbing steps for 2 days now. So, all right, let's go. And Casey goes, "You're not moving as fast as you used to move on steps." He's a couple steps ahead of me. I'm going, because I want to have ability to get to the top and walk to the church to see it. The point is, the more we exercise, the stronger we become. And the point here is the same as it relates to our spiritual gifts. The more we, I love the word that's used in the NASB, and for this series, I'm using the NASB. That's what I study from. That's what I read from. I've been preaching from the New Living Translation, which is a translation from the NASB, but I'm using that for the series. Paul uses that great word, exercise. And we can't just pass by that word, exercise. We are to exercise our gift. We are to use our gift. We are to make it strong. We are to make it prominent. We are to use it. So he goes on to say, exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If service and serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, hold on to that. I want to read that to you through the New Living Translation. This is the last part because the translation from that in today's language really hit me when I was reading that this week. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness or mercy to others, do it gladly. You will find as we go through this series that I believe that these are the seven given gifts to the members of the body of Christ. I see the gifts divided up into three different categories. That everyone has a given gift. And Paul identifies these given gifts right here in Romans chapter 7. We all have one of these given gifts from the Holy Spirit the moment He comes in and enters into your temple. It's there. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to seek it out. It comes. It's a gift, and it's been given to you. It's been given to each member of the body of Christ. And these given gifts that Paul identifies here is prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and mercy or kindness. We'll unpack that a little bit more. Another dynamic I see in Scripture, and we'll see this in a minute when we look at 1 Corinthians, is that there are ministries or callings that each one of us have been given to use our given gift in. For an example, let me ask you, because I'm going to say in a moment that every church ought to know their pastor's gift. So I've only been here 5 months, so maybe you don't know yet, but maybe some of you do or want to take a stab at it right now. Who would like to try to identify what my given gift is from the seven listed in Romans 12? Yes. I told you that? Someone took notes. Good. Prophecy. And that is my given gift. I believe that with all my heart. God has confirmed it in my spirit. Others have confirmed it in my life. Congregations have confirmed it in me. And here, personally, I've not given any disrespect to my God or the Holy Spirit, but I'd rather not have the gift of prophecy. Because most prophets aren't very well cared for or liked and often run out of town. And some of you that know my history, I've had that experience. But anyhow, he knows a whole lot better than I do. But see, how I see God dividing up these spiritual gifts is those given gifts, each one of us has one of those seven. Throughout the epistles, we have ministries and callings that we are to serve in through our given gift. So, who here would like to take adventure to know what ministry or calling your pastor has to serve as a prophet? Any ideas? Some of you are speaking, but you can't hear you. What's the role that I'm fulfilling here in your church? Pastor, teacher, shepherd. Yes. So I function as a prophet, my given gift, as your pastor, teacher, as your shepherd. Now, there's one other dynamic in the gifts we find in Scripture, primarily in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These, I do not believe, according to God's word, are given as the gift for your life. These are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And every one of God's children are to be open, receptive, and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest these gifts as He sees fit for you and for the one you're ministering to. We don't seek them out. We aren't to ask for them, but they're as the Spirit manifests them and brings them for a certain purpose, time, occasion, and ministry. Before we go any further with this, let me just give you seven facts about spiritual gifts. First of all, I've already said this, every believer has a spiritual gift. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 reads, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The moment you placed your faith in Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit brought with Him a spiritual gift completely designed for you. The gift is a blessing to the church, and it's impossible to be a believer without the gift. Every believer has a gift. Number two, it is important to know your gift. Church harmony, church unity, and success, as well as personal fulfillment as a believer, depends upon knowing and using the gift God has given you. The family of God should know each other's gifts. Husbands should know their wife's gifts. Parents should know their children's gift. And the congregation ought to know their pastor's gift. Number three, joy comes in using your gift. The Greek word for gift is charisma. The gift is given by grace, meaning that God has given us the desire and the ability to do His will. And as we do it, functioning in our gift, it results in joy. Number four, fulfillment comes through using your gift. A believer can best contribute to building the kingdom of God, edifying the church by effectively using their spiritual gift. Next, number five, Before someone asks me, I want to just address it right now. What about our natural God-given abilities? Natural abilities, God-given abilities, may be different than your spiritual gift. Your gift may be altogether different from your God-given abilities. Natural abilities produce temporary results. But your spiritual gift produces eternal results. I'll give an example just for clarity's sake. God has given me somewhat of a natural ability in the area of music. The more I realize it's not one of those hide it ones, I get around my two boys and they just run circles around me. I just look and, huh? Or I talk to some of you musicians here and I think, oh, what am I? But God has given me some natural ability, God-giving abilities in the area of music. I use it. It's not used for an eternal significance, even though it may help in that area. It's abilities that God has given me, different than the given gift of prophecy. Could you imagine if I'm doing worship as a prophet? Or trying to bring that prophetic thing into my plane. Sometimes the gifts crossed over a little bit. But there is a natural ability that God has placed in all of us. Some of you guys are amazing woodworkers. It's not a spiritual gift. Some of you are amazing at running wires and playing with electricity while standing on a ladder soaking in water. I would never do that. Some of you can do things, drawing and being creative and arts and all these things are natural abilities God's placed in you, and thank the Lord for them. But in the end, it's our spiritual gift that makes an eternal difference when we use it in our life and the life of other people. Number 6, each gift is designed to edify the body of Christ. Could you imagine having a whole church filled with prophets? You would need a moderator for sure, just to get through one service. Could you imagine a whole church filled with the gift of mercy, that every one of us, and I'm going to pick on my brother here because I believe his gift is mercy, but could you imagine our whole congregation of Steve just full of oozing with mercy and kindness? I love that gift. I need men and women around me that have that gift. I do, and so do you. Could you imagine a whole congregation of teachers? Oh, Lord, have mercy. What would happen around here? But our gifts that have been given are designed to edify the body. And children, you have a gift as well if your faith is in Jesus. You're not exempt from this. Everyone that knows Jesus has been given a gift. And number 7, God is eager for you to know and to use your gift. And when you do, you bless others. You bless the church. You use God's gift. And by using it, God receives the glory. And there brings health and harmony and joy into the body of Christ. Just as one body has many members, so the body of Christ has many members. But we're each to exercise, use the gift that's been given to us. Before I go any further, how many of you here clearly know your spiritual gift that God has given you through the Holy Spirit? Okay, awesome. The rest of you, do you want to learn? Do you want to find out what it is? It's there. And once you do, guess who's going to hold your feet to using it? Your prophet. Let's get going. Now I want to show you a little bit more clarity on those three different distinguishes that I see in the spiritual gifts. Turn down your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to read verse 1, skip down a few verses to verses 4 through 7. And for those of you that are following the NASB, just let you know that I used some of the translations from the New Living Translation to make it a little bit more understandable. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. Here's the thing. Paul is once again making it very clear. I want you to know about this. I want you to understand this. This isn't a mystery. It is here for you. It's here for the body of Christ. So now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be unaware. Verse 4. Here's our three distinctions. Number 1, verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. And there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. Verse 6. And there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Let's unpack that a little bit. First thing, Paul talks about a gift. In verse number 4, the basic inward orientation which God places in each believer to express His love in church. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And I see those as the gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12. Secondly, Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, ministries or callings. Let me back up. Those gifts, the very first thing from verse 4, they're given. You don't have a say in it. They're given to you. That's your gift that God gave to you through the Holy Spirit. Now let's look to verse 5. The ministries and or callings. We are to seek after these. These are opportunities for us to use our gift in the ministry and in the callings that God places on our life. These are the areas of service for the believer to exercise his or her spiritual gift. There are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5. Thirdly, effects or manifestations, workings, the operation of the Holy Spirit. With these, we are to expect them and to accept them. These manifestations, we are to expect them in our lives, and we are to accept them when the Holy Spirit brings them. These are the possible activities of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those giving or receiving ministry. Verse 6 reads in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are a variety of effects, a variety of manifestations, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So let me use myself as an example, and this is as far as we're going to go today. As a prophet, the given gift, I function in my ministry, in my calling in my life as a pastor teacher. We'll look at those from Ephesians chapter 4 next week. But so as a prophet, given gift, as a calling and ministry pastor teacher, I am to also expect and accept when the Holy Spirit manifests what so many people call assigned gifts, listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Example of my life. There's been times when I have nothing to say in it. And I was trying to explain this to someone the other day. When the Holy Spirit just does something and you're allowing Him to do His way, and it's the best example is I feel like a puppet on a string. I can't even move my own arms. He's moving them for me. That's allowing Him to work. That's allowing Him to have His way. There's been times where I've been ministering to somebody and the Holy Spirit just goes kabow with this manifestation, discernment, or a word of knowledge, or I'm praying for someone and He brings the power of His Spirit upon them for healing. It's not this man, just the vessel. And it doesn't continue but for that occasion. It's for that moment, for that ministry, for that need, as the Spirit sees fit, He loosens that gift for a specific purpose, for a specific time, for a specific ministry. And let me just close with this. The reason I believe this is a healthy approach and understanding to the gifts of the Spirit is this. If all the manifestations listed in 1 Corinthians were given gifts, so let's use the example of healing. If I had the given gift of healing, hospitals would be closed, doctors would be out of business, my wife would not have had all the issues she's gone through, she wouldn't have two hip replacements, there would be nobody dying of cancer, no heart disease, no sugar diabetes at all. And I would be the most popular person on the planet Earth. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 12? Don't consider yourself better. Don't think more of yourself than you are. The Holy Spirit knows what He is doing. And there has been times that the Spirit has manifest things that I'm just in awe of what He does. And it's very easy then to think, oh, that's how He's going to use me. And then you just sort of fall to your face on the ground because it wasn't you after all, and you realize it was all Him. So there's, as we started this series so many weeks ago, there's not one thing to fear when it comes to the Holy Spirit. He is not one to be feared. Fear of claustrophobia? Okay, I have that fear. But one thing I don't fear is the Holy Spirit, nor should you. Everything He does is good. Everything He brings is great. Everything He desires to do has already been ordained in heaven to take place in and through you. And this whole area of spiritual gifts has been confused, have been abused, have been taught incorrectly. And as I preface the message, this is my understanding. And if you see them completely different, you won't find a debate with me, because each one of you is responsible to search in your own scriptures and to understand them. But as your pastor, this is how God has brought me to this understanding. And as we go through the next 2 weeks, I'm going to look at them in three categories. But let me just give you a cliffhanger. You're not going to want to hear this. But guess what? We are all responsible for all seven of the given gifts. You just said we have one. Yes. But yet, that does not mean we're not responsible in the other six areas that the Spirit has given to the Church of Jesus Christ. We are responsible. And that will be unpacked a little bit more. So, what do I encourage you to do over this next week? Read over, pray over, ask the Spirit to give you discernment, understanding, and to quicken within you what your gift is. Take Romans chapter 12. Make it your focus this week, verses 4 through 7. Make it your study this week, and ask the Spirit to show you, to identify for you, to give you a confidence, give you a clarity. That's one thing you can do. If you already have an idea, go to a brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, have you been able to identify what my spiritual gift is? Don't tell them what you may think it is. Just ask them. And let them give you some input. And see what the Spirit starts revealing to you this week. Folks, this is very important for the church. Because when we know our gift, when we're exercising our gift, guess what we're able to do as the body of Christ? Everything God's ordained us to do. We will be equipped. We will have every area covered. We will have every ministry met. We'll have people functioning in their giftedness. And I'll tell you, when you function in your giftedness, there is ease. It's not dread. It's not like, oh, can I call in sick today? I don't want to go. Those little kids, junior high? Oh, my goodness. Seniors? Oh, I can't talk. I can't talk with them. Mow the lawn? No, I don't have a gift of serving. I can't mow the lawn. It takes 4.5 hours, right, Larry? 5 hours? 6? I can't serve that long. It's a whole morning. Encourage somebody. Oh, just get on with life. Life happens. Why should I show kindness to anyone? But when we know our gift that's been given, and we allow the Spirit to make it real for us, and we exercise it and use it, I promise on the authority of God that you will be so blessed and so motivated to be used for the kingdom of God that your life will begin another area of transformation. Because discipleship is transformation. We are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And this is one area that we all need to wrestle with, understand, and allow to take place in our lives. More to come next week. So take this week, use your scripture, ask the Spirit, be in prayer, meditate, and ask Him to start identifying for you.